Smash Factor.
Ripping driver, going for it. Oh my goodness.
How about that tee shot?
That is crazy how far that is.
Wow. John Daly, take a back seat, big fella. How about that drive?
That's an aggressive line.
Look at this, he's just driven the green. He has just driven the green.
I guess, hello world, huh?
Welcome to the Smash Factor for this week's Cognizant Classic on the PGA Tour. Still can't get used to that. Always be a Honda for me for now. Maybe a few years we'll finally get past that. But one of my favorite events, obviously been there several times. Love the course, the traditional course. We'll see how they have it this year. It's played much easier, as most of us know, the last couple of years with the overseed. And really, also the conditions have been, you know, just not much wind, soft, which it's not going to be soft this year. It's going to be dry, which will be good. We'll see what the wind does. I don't see much, but it'll be plenty warm, you know, 70s and 80s. Some wins, but, you know, nothing crazy. But really with that, and then maybe if the course isn't set up as easy as the last 2 years, maybe we get a little bit closer to what we were used to. You know, the single digit, low double digit winner plus number on the cut, you know, plus two, plus threes. We've seen that before here. I think last year was like minus four was a cut, which was just crazy to think at this course. But and the field, you know, obviously has taken a hit, probably the worst ever this year with the way it's smashed in between the signature events. With Bridgman winning last week, he withdrew, I think, three of the top five price in DraftKings withdrew after they dropped pricing. So that's going to make for interesting discussion on builds. But nonetheless, all that in, we're still going to plenty of money to be won. Nice contest out there. Still enjoy watching this course, watching this event on TV. Last week, matchups were great. 4-1 overall, 4-0 in the full tournament. Did not have Bridgman. I had him, you know, in my write-ups and stuff. I liked him last week, just not – didn't get him on the betting card. So no outrights there. Matchups, you know, help offset some of that, you know, when you have a strong week like that. DraftKings, once again, showdown saved my week. Main slate didn't do much. Had some decent runners. I mean, I had a solid pool. I think I only had five guys out of my – I think I wound up with 30 in the pool for the big MME, the $20, which I think I had like 60 or 70 lineups in there. So majority of the pool made it, but I did have a couple that were higher owned that hurt a little bit. And then there was Straka, I was pretty heavy on, and he had a horrible weekend. I think he shot 80 on Saturday. That really hurt some momentum on some of them lineups. Didn't have as much Bridgman as you would hope. I was about even with the field. I think I was right there, like 13-14%. Didn't have any Scotty, so that I was, you know, I like Scotty, obviously, I like watching him, and I like that kind of domination type storyline per se. But obviously, with him still being the highest owned in most contests, I was kind of pulling for the miscut because I had a feeling he would do similar to what he did, is make the cut on the number and climb back up there, which he did. And he did find his way into some top lineups. You didn't need him to win. I mean, Rory was strong enough. You didn't have to have Scotty, but I had zero Scotty. I was way more on Rory. So had a lot of the right pieces, just didn't get it all together to have a great week. But round four, I shipped the captain showdown mode and had a good regular day. So, you know, I think I made 7,000-8,000 on round four, which more than covered the week, way more. So showdown for, I think that's three or four straight weeks has kind of been solid. At least one or two rounds. You really only need one really big showdown day to cover the week. It made up for it. And hopefully we have that again. I like to have a good, strong, solid week, but main slate's tough. It always has been. I still enjoy it, but I do like showdown. Always have liked showdown golf. It's gotten obviously a little tougher with more and more content out there. We were the first to really focus in on showdown, 8 years ago or so, 2018. I think we were doing showdown stuff, 2019. So, but there's still plenty to be won on there. If you want to join us, I have an article out for showdown every single night. Obviously, all the stuff for PGA, the main slate will be up tomorrow night. This is late Tuesday night. I'll get this out around lunch tomorrow. Do have an early start time, so remember that. We've been a little spoiled with being able to, you know, tinker and not have to, you know, remember to wake up early and check for withdrawals and stuff like that with the West Coast and Hawaii stuff. But I think Locke will be around probably 6:30 my time, 7:30 Eastern time. So remember that. But I'll have everything out plenty of time tomorrow night, and then showdown for round 2, 3, and 4 as well. But if you want to join, you can use Corner, 30% off, the code Corner for 30% off any package, monthly, weekly, annual. You can get the content only as low as like $7 a month, or 10, 20, or 15 bucks a month if you want the full site, which gets you all the tools, lineup builder, model builder for all the PGA stuff. It includes all the NFL stuff as well. even though that season's over, you'll have it ready for the fall. All the NFL tools are included if you do the full site. If you just want the content, you know, it comes with the Slack as well, and then all the articles. So you can use that code Corner for 30% off. PGA National, we're very familiar with the course. We definitely have more boots on the ground this week than usual. OG John always there. Get an update from him tomorrow. I think tomorrow is his first day. He's actually going to be at the course. See what he thinks of, you know, potentially. We've heard a little bit higher rough. You know, how the fairways are, greens, all that kind of stuff. Get his updates in Slack. But I'm hoping they play a little bit harder than it has been. 17, 19 under the last 2 years has been kind of just crazy to think about this course, which was one of the toughest on tour. It's par 71, 7,200 yards, 3 par 5s, 4 par 3s. Very, very tough par 3s. We know that par 5s are typically where you need to get your scoring done. They still, I guess it's been 2 years now that they turned the par 4 into a par 5. Used to be par 70. Bermuda greens, so first time that they've really seen those this year on the tour. Obviously, tons of trouble on this course, a lot of water. You can blow up quickly. Winds really do make a big difference here on the scoring. It doesn't look too crazy, but hopefully with it being dry, you know, they can get it firm. And when they do have some winds, it kind of hurts and keeps the scoring down a little bit. I don't think we'll see 8, 9, 10 under win it like we have many years in the past, but hopefully it's closer to, you know, a 13, 14 under, not a 18, 19 under type score. Cut, I'd like to see it be an even plus one, but realistically it's probably going to be minus one, minus two, just the way it's been the last couple of years. Wouldn't be shocked though, just seeing even. We've seen cuts here, you know, I think plus four before. We'll just have to see how it plays and how it's looking tomorrow when we have people there on the course. So important week to kind of be in part of Slack and get that update live. Won't change a lot for me. You know, it's just more of understanding how the course is going to play overall and you know, the volatility of it. Like I said, 19 under, 17 under, 14 under the last 3 years. But even the 19 and 17, those are ridiculous scores here, but they won by 2 and 3 strokes. So, you know, 14 under took second place last year, which isn't crazy, but you know, before that it was 10 under, 12 under, 6 under, 9 under, 8 under, which is much more what we're looking for. And even the 12 under year, that was Matt Jones and he won by 5 strokes. So second place was 7 under. Would love to see some scores like that this week. You know, and see it play tough. These guys have played, you know, some easy courses and soft conditions recently, so it's fun to see that challenge for them as well. Like I said, 70s and 80s for the weather. There are some winds. I don't see anything crazy. Maybe a lean to the AM guys for round one and first round leader, but Thursday and Friday look similar, so I don't see a wave split per se. I just think maybe those showdowns, when you may lean earlier, the better. And then first round leader may lean to the AM guys as well. We could see some rain, which they haven't had rain in, I think, almost 2 months. Just a few showers potential over the weekend. Nothing crazy. Nothing that's going to, you know, soften the course tremendously or cause a delay or anything like that. Stats I'm looking at this week: good drives, stroke gain, irons, bogey avoidance, opportunities inside 18 feet, good approach, par four DK scoring. As I said, three of the top five guys withdrew after pricing was released. So there is zero guys in the 10K range, which I'm fairly sure that's the first time we've had that, you know, going into a tournament, as the two top guys that were in the 10K range withdrew. And then Adam Scott withdrew as well. Eight in the 9K, 10 in the 8K, 35 in the 7K, 63 in the 6K. Obviously, with that way pricing is laid out and the guys that withdrew, it's, I wouldn't say it's easy to build however you want, but, you know, it, there's not going to be much restrictions for you. I do think it'll probably spread ownership out amongst the top quite a bit, because there's really not. I mean, yeah, Lowry and Gerard probably are the two highest owned, but I don't know how high owned they get. The Højgaards, you know, probably get a little bit of love too. We'll see what the industry is like tomorrow when listen to pods. But I think they could all wind up getting spread out decently. You don't have like a dominant, you know, that I think everybody goes, oh, that's the guy, you know, Scheffler, Rory, something like that. And because they're all going to be playable and mix and match, I think, you know, they all could wind up being, you know, at 18 to 22%, you know, six, seven, eight of them up there could all see ownership. Probably Brooks being the lowest owned of all of them. But I don't know if I see anybody getting, you know, where we've seen in recent weeks, some close to 30% at times for the highest owned. I think initially people may think that because of the withdrawal, but I really think it'll be spread out. We'll see how that kind of comes in tomorrow. Sweet 16 per usual, three that I like, a bubble boy, fade of the week, sleeper of the week, some gut feel plays, betting top five that pop, and two long shots, and then my preliminary one and done, and we'll get out of here tonight, and I'll have this posted up by lunch tomorrow. Sweet 16 for me, 9K and above. I'll start with Gerard. I like him. I do think he'll be owned. I don't think he'll be – I just think you can go wherever you want up there. I don't think you'll be avoiding chalk per se. I think everybody's going to be kind of, like I said, 20, 25% across all of them instead of two at, you know, 30, 35%. Maybe initially, like I said, that could be the instinct, but I think some may start pivoting, thinking that others will be higher owned, and I just don't. I think you could pretty much go where you want. I think it's more going to be about construction this week than exactly who you play. Like, where do you get different? Do you go super balanced? Do you even need to dip down the 6Ks? Is there a 6K guy that you like that people may not go down there because you have all the money in the world? You know, things like that. He played here last year, 25th. 2 years ago, he had a fourth, coming in with some pretty good form, 11th, 45th, 28th. And if he could putt it all last week, he would have been a lot better. Striking the ball really well last week, just could not putt, save his life. He played him in showdown a couple times. And you know, I don't even know. One day, I at one point, I think he's losing over five strokes putting. I don't know exactly where he ended up on the week, but maybe the flip to Bermuda will be positive for him. Good form coming in overall. Eighth in good drives, third in irons, 10th in bogey avoidance. The two top 25 finishes here with the fourth is also solid to me. Will be owned, but again, I think there's ways to get around that. Don't mind that. 9,700. Thor, 9,200. Played here last year at 39th. Made the cut at Pebble. Didn't do much with it. Oh, what's Pebble? Pebble's no cut. But so he didn't do good at all that week. 78th. I don't remember how many was in that field. I know that's almost last. But before that, a third at Waste and 18th at Farmer. So depends on which one you know, do you go off the horrible performance at Pebble or the two before it was solid. Plus pretty decent here last year. I like seeing, you know, a guy make a cut, top 40. I just like his overall talent. So at 9,200, I'm going to have, you know, I don't mind going overweight on him at all. Ninth in good drives, third in bogey avoidance, sixth in good approach. he's below average in the putting. You know, that could be one, you know, negative per se, but at the price, I like him a lot this week. I'm going to go both Horvards, kind of cheat here, 94 and 9,500. I think it's splitting hairs which one you like more. I'll probably lean a little bit to Nikolai, but Rasmus, you could argue the one, and I wouldn't disagree with you. Excuse me. They both played here. Nikolai was 18th last year, had a miscut in 2022. Rasmus was a miscut in 2024. Both coming in good form. Nikolai, 22nd and a third. Rasmus, a 30th and a 24th. I think their games are solid for this place. Nikolai probably is a little bit better on the putting side on Bermuda, but I lean him a little bit. He's $100 cheaper too. He probably will be a little bit higher owned, but you could flip a coin on both of them. I'll probably have both of them in my pool, especially for a 20 max or more. And the bubble boy for me is Lowry. And that's probably just that. The only reason for him is probably his ownership. I think he'll be the highest. Him or probably Nikolai would be 1-2, and then Gerard third, right there. But I think, again, I think they're all going to be really close. Not too worried about it, but he has such a solid history here. Last 4 years, second, fifth, fourth, third. Or I'm sorry, second, fifth, fourth, 11th. 24th last week, eighth at Pebble. Solid across the boards in the stats. 40th in putting, so above average there. But obviously he knows this place extremely well. Six straight made cuts here. His worst finish is a 36. So I think when people dig in and see all that, he kind of will bump up to be one of the higher owned in this range. It may be the highest. That'd be the only reason for the Bubba Boys ownership. Don't mind playing him at all. If you want to save on some ownership, or maybe you just try not to do the two or three highest owned in the same lineup, be a little bit different. You know, you can be creative that way, but he's a solid play. Don't mind playing him at all. He's just the one that I chose as the bubble boy as far as ownership goes for me. So 9K range, Gerard's 9,700, Thor 9,200, the Horvards 94 and 9,500, and then bubble boy is Lowry at 9,900. 8K range, Mac Mesner 8K. Sorry, I lost my place on the chart. Played here twice, a miscut and a 53rd, so just okay here. 18th at Ways, 49th at Farmers. Solid across the board in stats. 17th, 15th, 5th, 8th, 5th, 18th, 16th in putting. So on paper, he looks awesome. You know, the history here probably pauses a little bit for me just because he hasn't done it, but doesn't mean he can't. This place can take anybody. We've seen that before. You know, used to be this is where chalk goes to die. You know, we've seen 1% six of sixes here before. Not so much as recently, but it still has that potential. So, you know, he could top 10. It wouldn't shock me at all. He's looking good on, you know, his form looks good. Don't mind playing him. And the price is solid at 8K. So I don't think he'll be extremely high on. He'll probably be one of the more popular in the 8K range, but still under 15%, so nothing crazy. Davis Thompson, can't seem to get him right, kind of a love-hate relationship. His ceiling is so high. I mean, I think, you know, obviously he can win on this tour, but his floor is also, you know, he can get in a bogey train quick and miss a cut, for sure. Missed a cut here last year. 47th in 2024, 64th at Waste, 43rd at Farmers. Stats, he's, you know, pretty decent. 26th, 30th, 24th, 2nd, 8th, and 33rd. So solid across the board. Putting, he's about average in the field. I don't think many will go there. So I think we could see him 10% or less this week at that price. My gut is people will try to fill probably is maybe three 9K guys and drop down just because you can do that kind of balance, hybrid balance build. And so maybe the 8K range is a little less owned than normal. We'll kind of see what the industry feels like tomorrow. And obviously I'll update all that in the final rankings and stuff tomorrow night. But, you know, I don't mind taking some shots on him at 8,600, especially, you know, 20 lamps or more. Does he make the three max pool? He's probably a bubble boy for that. We'll see. But don't mind him at all this week. Hao Tong is one of my favorites this week. I have heard his name, you know, a couple times already, so I think he could get some ownership, but hasn't played here. That's probably would be the my main negative. Missed cut at waist, 11th at Farmers, 3rd in par 4 DK scoring, 35th in good drives. Putting on Bermuda is not great. That's probably the biggest thing that stands out to me. But overall, he's looked solid. You know, I think he's looked solid recently. If he starts getting way up there in ownership, like that's a one that I can go, well, I liked him, but he's a chalk piece that I could get light on, you know, by this time tomorrow night. I do like him. Don't get me wrong. But if he becomes, you know, that flavor of the week type deal, then he is a guy that there's enough red flags there that I can go, well, I can be lighter on him and go eat chalk elsewhere. Especially never played here, stuff like that. But if he's just in line or okay, you know, in the ownership, I don't mind going to Haotong at all this week. Bubble boy for me, Willie Z. The tougher I think it plays, the better, you know, I would want to be on him. I don't think he'll be owned much. He'll be single digits for sure. Could be 5 to 7% in that range. So you don't have to play a lot of them to get overweight. This is just a, you know, you kind of roll the die. 8,400 kind of, I think, is one of the main reasons the ownership will stay low. It's just, do you want to be early on him and trust, you know, how far back or how much is he back? How much is he close to being back to form? Will he ever be back to form? Those kind of things. Or wait and see it. And then, you know, he was always popular. So when he does pop, he's going to get some ownership the following time he plays. So he's a guy I don't mind being early on. Much more for an MME pool. I don't think he'd be my 3 max. But at that price, low ownership, you know, certainly got to take a look at. The bubble boy reason is because on paper, he's just not going to look great. He hadn't played a lot. And the injury risk and stuff like that is just something you got to factor in. So 8K range for me. Meisner, 8K. Thompson, 8,600. Haotong, 8,100. Bubble boy, Willie Z at 8,400. 7K range. Svensson, right at 7K. 32nd here last year. He missed a cut at Farmers. 7th in opportunities, 2nd in good approach, 20th in par 4 DK scoring, 25th in irons. Solid across the board, great price, you know, probably sub 5% ownership. I like him decent amount this week. 7,800, Kiefer. I think he'll get a little more ownership than most. Could be one of the higher owned in the 7K range. 41st at Waste, 43rd at Farmers. The upside potential there, you know, the talent level I definitely like. He's one of those guys I don't mind being early on. 4th in good drives, 3rd in good approach, 16th in opportunities. Again, solid price for the upside. Definitely, you know, a 20 max type pool. Potentially could be in that 3 max play for me as well. Kevin Roy, 7,100 is 3rd in this for me, 3rd in this range for me. 29th in 2023, missed the cut last year. Missed a cut at Farmers, 13th at Waste, so solid performance there. 29th in good drives, 13th in putting, 19th in course fit. Overall, you know, a lot of green flags for me, and at the price, 7,100. And he'll be, you know, that 4 to 6% range as well, so not really worried about ownership. Definitely in the pool, you know, similar to, you know, Svensson for me, you know, definitely in the pool. We'll flirt with, you know, 3 max, but, you know, 20 max or more, he's a guy I want to take some shots on this week. Castillo, 7,500. Played him quite a bit, you know, especially in the fall. 56th there last year, so made the cut. 43rd at Farmers. A little smaller sample, but pretty solid across the board. 22nd in good drives, 22nd bogey avoidance, 12th in opportunities inside 18 feet, 7th in good approach, 6th in par 4 DK scoring, 21st in putting. So I like him a lot. We'll see if he gets popular. I don't think anybody in the 7K range is going to be overly popular. Just the way the build is freed up this week, I think it's pretty spread out. So not too worried about ownership. Only reason for Bubble Boy would be, you know, what's his ceiling? But at 7,500, can he give you a top 20 potential? You know, I think it's there, but he also has a lower floor. So, you know, that one thing to think about, but, you know, he could easily miss the cut. But I like his upside. I like his talent. I think the course could fit him well. again, I think he'll be 6 to 8% owned, so nothing I'm worried about ownership in this range in general. So 7K range, Svensson, 7K right on the dot. Kiefer, 7,800. Roy, 7,100. Bubble Boy Castillo at 7,500. 6K range, Hostler, 6,900. Better history here than I would have thought. Made the cut all five times he's played it in the last, he's played it five out of the last 6 years. 38th, 60th, 16th, 28th, 32nd. So besides 2021 where he got the 60th, you know, he's been right around, you know, top 30, top 25, with a 16th in there as well. 18th on Bermuda greens. We know he can get hot putter. He's going to be 2 or 3% owned. So at this, you know, for this price and the upside there and the history here is really what caught my eye, you know, so he, to make the cut here, even though it has been easier the last couple of years, five out of five, it's pretty solid. So he obviously, something about this course, fits him well, certainly in the pool for MME, could possibly be in the three max by the time we get tomorrow night as well. Carson Young, who I believe was added a little later, with many of the withdrawals we had this week, 6,600, 22nd in the rolling stats, 14th in putting, 26th in the deep dive on the course history. He's solid across the board for me. I'm hoping the ownership doesn't get too crazy. I think if he'd have been in the pool originally, he may have been even more talked about and higher owned. So hopefully, you know, if he's around that 5% mark, he's one of my favorites in this range at 6,600. And I definitely, he could be a three max as well. You could go 3 9K in him and fill in wherever you wanted to on the other two. If you want to drop down that low, and maybe that's a little bit way to get different. Yellow Majaro, I believe that I probably messed that up. That's typical for me, but, he was actually a Doc of the Week a few weeks back and performed well. I don't remember which tournament it was, but it was several weeks back. I think it was actually back in January, but upside is there. He's flashed upside, 54th at Waste, 56th at Farmers. Don't know what he was before there. 20th in good drives, 45th in par four DK scoring, mid pack in putting. Same price as Carson Young. So, I mean, I'd like Carson quite a bit better, but if you need another guy, especially in your pool, I don't mind him. He's going to be in that 3 or 4% range. Bubble Boy for me is Marty Doe, 6,900. He looks solid. The only reason Bubble Boy is I think he will be the highest in the 6K range and maybe the only one that could flirt with that 10% or more ownership. I have him in that 8 to 10% range right now. Missed the cut here. The only time he played here, played it good, tee to green, struggled putting a little bit. 13th at Waste, 49th at Farmers. Enough there that I like him, but if he is the highest owned, that, you know, that's the reason for the Bubble Boy. I'd probably, you know, I could easily move off him, similar like Hao Tong. You know, if he's going to be super high owned, I don't mind pivoting off him to someone else. But on paper, solid play. I just don't know if I want to get that chalky ownership down there in the 6K range or not. 6K range for me, Hostler, 6,900. Young, 6,600. Yellow Majaro, 6,600. And then Dow, 6,900 as the Bubble Boy. Fade of the week for me, I'm going to go with Rye. Putters made him look a lot better than he was last week. Stat-wise, he just doesn't look solid to me for 8,800, and he's probably going to be, you know, 15% owned or so, one of the highest, if not the highest in the 8K range. When you deep dive on him, there's just enough flags there that, you know, I'm good. If he wins it, I'll, you know, I can eat crow there. But he's played there twice. A 66th and a missed cut also. So I, you know, 112th in good drives, 103rd in good approach. And in this field, that's not good. So I'm out on Rye at 8,800. I'll pass there. Sleeper of the week for me is Celinda, 6,600. I like him a lot. Played him when I can. Obviously he's not in a bunch of fields yet, but 30th at the Farmers, 39th here last year, fourth in opportunities inside 18 feet, 10th in good approach, 19th in par four DK scoring, sixth in good drives. Solid across the board. I like him a lot. I have him at 1 to 2% right now. So a good sleeper of the week there, Celinda for 6,600. some gut feel plays. Brooks, I mean, you know, back on some greens he should be familiar with. If he gets a putter rolling, I think the rest of it is good enough that he can compete here for sure, especially in a weaker field. I don't know if he'll get tremendous ownership. You know, so if he's in that 10 to 12% range, certainly a guy I don't mind taking a look at. Ekrot, who's won here, 7,200. Form hasn't been great, but, you know, he's a perfect example. Miscut, won here, miscut. So, I mean, that's kind of what traditionally the Honda can be like. You can miss a cut and win it, you know, back-to-back years easily. But I do like his game here, and even on paper, he still looks solid. You know, so he's in that 4 to 5% range. David Ford, 7,100. Miscut at Farmers, hasn't played here, but that's more of a talent upside play. I don't mind taking some stabs on him. Hoy, 7,600. 56 and 25th here, so decent. The 2 years he has played it. 70th, 24th, 67th, and miscut the last 4 weeks. So some up and down there, which is kind of him, a roller coaster. Definitely could easily miss a cut, or he can be, you know, up there, top 25, you know, with the chance to make a run. Wouldn't shock me either way. Mitchell, 9,300, another one of those guys in the 9K range, I think, you know, flirting around that 15%. Good history here, but he has struggled at times as well. Miscut, 53rd, 9th, 9th, 42nd. Obviously, he's won here, but number one in good drives, number one in good approach. It's always a solid 31st in putting. He could be one that kind of goes a little lower than that, you know, the Lowry's and Gerard's. And so, he could pique my interest in the 9K range. Smalley, 8,300. Another one that I think I like a little more, the harder it plays. He's made the cut 2 out of 3 years here, an 18th, a 55th, and a miscut. 18th was last year. 19th at Pebble, 35th at Waste. Overall, I'm always a Smalley guy. I like him in general. Like him at showdowns. He can get hot, so he's a guy to keep an eye on for that, but I don't mind looking at him for the main pool as well. And then Billy Ho, not a guy I thought would be on my mind, but pretty good history here. He's probably going to be in that 4 or 5% range. Five made cuts the 5 years he's played it. Out of the last six, he only missed 2021, but a 42nd, a 16th, a 42nd, a 9th, and a 25th. So three inside the top 25, you know, two, real, you know, one inside the top 10, the other one close to it. Don't mind that at all. I think just veteran, grinder, 7,100 feels a little cheap for him. So he's another guy that caught my eye for a potential add to the pool as well. Betting top five to pop and two long shots for me. And these odds could move around. Check as always. I try to grab an average. My betting stuff will be out tomorrow per usual. I like Kiefer 40 to 1, Castillo 65, Thompson 35, Haltong 40, Willie Z 45. Two long shots, Svensson 100 and Salinda 150. Probably more of a top 20 on those two, but still potential. Preliminary one and done for me, Gerard, Thompson, Haltong. I'm going to cheat and go both the Højgaards again. And then Thor. Those are probably my top six on this case. I'll have the final out tomorrow night in the Final Thoughts article like I do every week. Again, if you want to join, come check us out. Showdown article out for round 2, 3, and 4. All the pre-tournament stuff out tomorrow night. We have an early start Thursday morning, which I like. I like, you know, when I get up, there's golf on instead of – there's a positive about it. I'm up early anyway, so getting up early to make sure no one's withdrawing all that, that's not an issue. But at times, it gets annoying waiting till 9, 10 o'clock our time, tinkering, thinking stuff and all that. I'd rather just get up and it's on and going. So – you can use that code CORNER, 30% off any package. Should be a fun week. Then I don't know where they're at next week. I know in 2 weeks we got the players. So the first big, you know, Millie in the DraftKings world. Where are they at next week? Oh, API. Okay. Arnold Palmer. So another that which I knew that now that I think about it because of the signature stuff. This tournament being smashed in between, you know, two signatures is one reason why it hurt. Because then, you know, it really isn't that it's smashed between those. That hurts. But after the API is the players. And so if you wanted to play this week, you know, you're going to play Pebble, if you're a signature event and if you're qualified in Genesis. So that's what, 4 out of 5 weeks are signature events. And so it really screwed Honda, really, the way that they placed it on the schedule. So hopefully that changes some. I know there's a lot of talk on what there's a lot of changes potential on the schedule. I would like to see this played maybe not as a signature, but just in a much better spot on the schedule to get some bigger names here. I just think it's a good tournament. It's a great tournament to attend. I've attended many different tournaments all over, and it's certainly, you know, if not my favorite, right there is one of my favorites to attend in person as well. Hope you guys have a great week. We'll have everything out tomorrow, per usual, and we'll talk to you later.